tonight our lesson comes again from the book of Nahum. Nahum was talking about Nineveh. And I told you, Nineveh, God had rejected Nineveh. In other words, they were like some of the Israelites. They were reprobate. In other words, the refining process, even though that they knew God, he said, "Woe to the bloody city. It is all full of lies and robbery. The depraved parted not." On to verse 4, it says, "Because of the multitude of thy whoredoms, of the well-favored harlot, the mistress of witchcraft, that selleth nations through her whoredoms and family through witchcraft. Behold, I am against thee, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will discover thine scourge upon thine face, and I will show the nations thy nakedness and the kingdoms thine shame." So here we hear Nahum passing judgment on Nineveh, and God's judging, and I tell you, the flood was probably part of that judgment. What had happened to Baton Rouge, it's going to be much more severe than it was, because we suffer in this state, we suffer in this city, this nation, from a spirit of hoarder, from a spirit of whoredoms, and that comes from not following God's word. You want to pass these out, Deacon?
Sure.
Two, four, six. Sister Harris, you may not get one, but you go get mine.
Thank you.
And if y'all not to read those, let me know. But I went on and printed those up because I felt it was important that you would have those. Whoredom and harlotry. Whoredom and harlotry. Its growth was significantly aided by a so-called Christian church that abandoned its responsibility to cry aloud and spare not and show God's people their sins. Isaiah 58:1, we must be very careful to guard ourselves from succumbing to the temptation of being drawn into the same casual approach. And it is our responsibility to overcome sin. It's our responsibility to overcome sin. Now, what happens is, I told you I wasn't going to take the sharp edge off of the gospel. And too many churches have taken the sharp edge off the gospel today. And that's caused the pollution and the wickedness in the land. Like I said, we've changed the meaning of words. You hardly hear the word whore or whoremonger anymore, harlot, prostitute, or whatever, and about people's different lifestyles. And that's because they're calling it ladies of the night, I forgot some of the names they call it, but they dress it up. But what God's doing here, he uses a name where you can think of the vulgarity of it, the vileness of what's being done here. And he's using it not only in a physical sense, it's a spiritual harlotry. Now, I've never seen it so great in any other nation, and Corinthians was dealing with it as it is in America. And I tell you, television is one of the vices that do that. Most of the churches, that's why you don't have church. A lot of people go to church. I think the United States, we're one of the most church nations that it is. That's what makes it worse, because most of them in the church are given to whoredoms or harlotries, which is idolatry. That idolatry, in other words, can we all get along? Just agreeing with one another. In other words, this religion is right, that religion. Nobody's religion is definitely wrong. That couldn't be gospel truth, because they all have different doctrines and different teachings. People are set up today. They'll watch, and like I said, I'm not going to name any pastors, any preachers' names, or any televangelist's name. But did you know that's prostitution, that's whoredoms there in God's eyesight? Because it's spiritual prostitution, it's spiritual whoredom, it's adultery. In other words, you have to be given to one spirit. But if you're listening to many of the different teachings and things, and a lot of people say, oh, I went to my wife's church this week. I went to a friend of mine's church. That's whoredoms, because the spirits are not the same. The spirits are not the same. And that's what Christianity divided the line when it came down. They sit there and they listen to this televangelist and that television on, and not knowing that's why this nation has to fall. The state has to fall. The city has to fall, because there are too many spirits. It's a spirit, God calls it a spirit of whoredoms. We even bring that money into the sanctuary. You know, if you go to the boat and win money, you're doing some kind of gambling, that revenue is not allowed into the temple. If you're doing any kind of work other than honest work by wages, that money is not allowed to be put in God's treasury. It says, book of Deuteronomy, the 23rd chapter of Deuteronomy, and the 17th through the 18th verse. Now, I heard Leroy say one time, I used to listen at Leroy Thompson. That's another very dangerous thing, unless you know what you're listening at. But he was talking about money and John, what's his name? John Montgomery, I used to listen at also with this other church. But they were saying money is neutral. But how you come by getting the money, what dirties the money up, which voids the use of that money. You couldn't go rob a bank or do something illicit and get money and then put it in the church. Because it came by the wrong devices. Even the Pharisees knew this. Remember the money that Judas Iscariot got for selling Jesus to the Romans? And they gave him the 30 pieces of silver. When he brought it to the Pharisees said, no, you can't put that in the temple treasuries. That's blood money. The United States has blood all over their hands. That's the one that has given our Iraqis and different people money, rewards to sell other nations and sell their leaders and things out. This is a nation given to bribes and bribery, and all that causes prostitution. That's what you call whoredoms. Adam was the first one that was a prostitute, that was a whoremonger, a whore. In other words, he sold his birthright. He sold his soul for a bite of the fruit, for a bite of illicit fruit. Something God had forbidden him to have. But he sold his soul. It's like Esau. Esau sold his birthright for a bite of lentils, a soup from Jacob. He sold his birthright. What are you selling your soul for? What are you today selling your soul? Is it to please your wife? You know, Ahab did, God says Ahab did evil above any other man in the nation, because he sold himself to do evil for his wife Jezebel. That's a sign of a weak man that tries to do things to please his wife and not please God. You become an idolater. That's why harlotry, it falls in that category as symbolic of spiritual idolatry. And that's the same as fornication or adultery. I was reading Deuteronomy 23:17 through 18. There shall be no cult prostitute among the daughters of Israel, nor shall there be a cult. The King James, and that's why we use the King James Version. And, you know, I use different versions, but where the King James is, it leaves the sharp edge on the gospel. In other words, if I was to say somebody had an affair, it sounds much nicer than that they committed adultery, that they used that word, had became a widow whore. The Bible uses the word widow whore. It sounds more nicer to say that somebody has an alternate lifestyle than that person is perverted. And here God says a sodomite. In other words, male prostitute, male perversions. It shall not be named among the sons of Israel in the church. It shouldn't be in the church. That's why Paul got after them in the church, where this man was sleeping with his father's wife. See, God showed where he speaks of it as dirty, being dirty, and he put it in that genre, in that symbolism. I use that word because sex is one of the most derogatory words that he could have used. It's a sign of defilement. If a woman goes out and sleeps with a man sleeps with a woman, it's called defiling yourself, which is an abomination unto God. Because God desires holiness, which is pureness, which is one, which is singleness. Singleness of mind, singleness of soul and spirit. He says, you shall not bring the wages of the earnings of a male prostitute, a woman, or any type of prostitute, the price of a dog, into the house of the Lord your God as payment for any vow. For both of these, the gift and the giver, are utterly repulsive to the Lord your God. And detestable to him, the very act of what you've done is detestable to God. You know, and a lot of people, they say that that's their lifestyle. Well, okay, that's in the world, and that's what he said. He said Nahum to condemn the world, but then he had already judged the church. Any churches that's allowing a man to lie with a man, or marry a man and a woman and a woman, they are reprobate. That word is used in the book of Romans. If you look in the book of Romans, the first chapter of the book of Romans, that's what happens when God turns you over. He turns you over to another spirit. Are we there? The book of Romans, the 21st verse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their foolish imagination, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worship and serve the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile, vile. You know what the word vile mean, right? Something that's vile. He gave them up to vile affection. For even their women did change the nature and use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, having the leaving the natural use of the woman, turned from having relations with a woman. They burned in their lust one toward another, men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves the just recompense of their error, which was meat. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind. The word reprobate, a reprobate mind, in other words, a mind that is void of God, a mind that God doesn't dwell in, it's dark, God rejects it. It's the flesh of man. It's enmity against God. It's the flesh can, if you're in the flesh, if you're carnal, you cannot please God. So there's no way that these people can please God. Well, they say marriage is honorable in the bed undefiled, but you've contaminated and rejected his word because you went against his word, a man marrying a man. That's disgusting, God says. That's an abomination for a woman to do that. You've gone a whoring after other gods. God hadn't told you that. You've shaped and formed gods of your own imagination. Whatever church allows you to do that, that's not the God of the Bible. That's not the true God. That's another Jesus. That's something that would pervert mankind. That's why it says they will not prosper. See, that's why you'll never get your home in order. You'll never get anything in order, and God rejects you from even holding office in the church if you can't first get your own home in order. If you can't run your own house, it says there's no way you can run the house of God. You should be in a position of leadership in the house of God. Because it's a spirit that would contaminate the rest of the people. That's why before you appoint different offices in the church, before you put different people in positions where they are ordained in that, you need to take Timothy, Paul told Timothy, lay hands suddenly on no man. Because before you ordain somebody as a minister or a deacon or something, first find out, is he in charge at home? If he ain't running his own house, don't ordain him, he said. Because then that means the woman that his wife is running the church because she's running him. He ain't in charge nowhere. But you got him in a place, a position of authority in the church. That's why in the book of Acts, when they ordain and deacons, they say, you look out among you and find men of a good repute. In other words, see, the church blinds you about this blind trust that a person says they're in Jesus and a person says they, no. Do you know anything about that guy's life? A devil will stand there and lie to you to your face. They'll come right in the church. It's preachers that's having homosexual relationships. It's people that's preachers that's going with the sisters in the church. It's preachers that's living all kinds of life and still in the pulpit. So you can't just say, trust somebody. What kind of life, what are they, how are they like outside the church? Do they have a word outside the church with other men? The other day, my son needed to get his truck fixed, the transmission replaced in his truck. And I told him about the guy, you know, it's on city that works on him. And the guy said, told him $1,800, told him it was half then and half a different time or whatever. But anyhow, he laid down the parameters and he said, he gave him my name or whatever. But then the guy called me back and said, well, your son was going to call me. I said, yeah, he's supposed to be calling you. He was working, doing something. I immediately got off the phone and I said, well, look, Jay, now, the guy was waiting on you to call him. You need to call him. And I referred you to him. Don't mess my name up because this guy is depending on you to keep your word. See, even if you can't do anything else in the community where you are, you need to be able to hold your word. You need to be responsible. And if you can't do something as promised, you at least call that person or get in touch with that person and say, look, man, something hindered me from doing this. He would know that you moved heaven and earth trying to get done what you told him you'd do. So he called the guy back, and him and the guy talked and everything, and we've had a good time talking back and forth on the phone or whatever. And late last night, he went over and he picked up the truck. And it's running like a brand new truck or whatever. But what are you known in the community? If you're known as a shyst in the community, what do the other people around there know about you? What do the other men, so you have to be of a good repute, what do the men on your job think about you? Do they say, well, no, man, that guy, you don't want to trust that guy. You don't want that guy running you. His wife in charge of that. Well, no, you have to shy away from that guy. You have to be firm in the faith. He said, I gave y'all some papers here, that paper there. He said he's having a whore's forehead. A whore's forehead. I must give you. In other words, these people were symbolic, looked at life. In other words, you know, a prostitute or a streetwalker is loud and they're noticeable. They're loud and they're noticeable. It's like one of the politicians we have now that he's loud and noticeable. He's out front with himself, and that's the way a harlot is, that they don't have no shame for themselves. There is no shame. There is no shame. You don't have any shame. Just like the young men, if you have in your pants hanging down and your underwear and everything showing and everything, where is your shame at? God had covered your shame. You mean to tell me you are right doing this publicly? And Solomon talks about this, about living in that type of life or whatever. It's a licentious right. In other words, It's you remember I talked with you last week about being lascivious. In other words, lustful, full of lust. How many times you always, the guys that, you know, I seldom be around them now, they watch themselves as they're around me. But I always talking about women and how she looked and the appearance, always talking in a sexual connotation. In other words, these people are full of lust. You know, life's hard enough. You know, it's good in some of those Arabian countries or whatever where the women actually cover themselves with gowns or whatever. But it's hard enough getting along without you bringing attention to some way some woman or guy dressed to cause me to go looking and lusting after her. See, that's lasciviousness on her part, the dressing allude to lasciviousness way to cause me to lust after her. And you gathering together as a whoremonger to chase after that sort of thing. And if you watch it on television, that's why pornography is over a $4 billion industry, because people look and lust after that. Well, you committing adultery with your wife and with God. What did Jesus say? Not what Moses say. Now Moses say he who looks after a woman, Moses say he who committed adultery with a woman. You know, he had sinned. But Jesus said he who looks after a woman and lusts after her have committed adultery in his heart already. So you can have a lustful look. Everything you want, that woman is an object, a sex object to you or whatever. That's what pornography makes a person, an object of sex. It's not a relationship. You didn't degrade the sexual relationship, something that God had made to be distinct between one individual. You've been turned into a whoremonger. Are you going a whoring? Because you can have that type of relationship with any person. It doesn't matter. They call it now casual sex. So it doesn't matter. And that's what they do about casual worship. Now, it doesn't matter what church I go to, who I listen to. It's in the Bible. I'm just listening. It does matter. God says that's what took Israel away from him. The book of Deuteronomy, again, the 29th chapter, it says, do not prostitute thy daughter to cause her to be a whore, lest the land fall to whoredom and the land become full of wickedness. What did happen to America? Isn't it full of wickedness and the land is defiled? That's why so much stealing and killing, because once the women lose all their bridal passion, once they lose, that's the last button to go. The men are, God had made women and men differently. And a woman has to have shamefacedness, a sobriety about herself. And that's why God told Cain, he says, Sin has a desire for you. Look at the book of Genesis. Look at the book of Genesis, in the third chapter of Genesis here. The fourth chapter of Genesis. In the fourth verse. And Abel also brought of the firstlings of his flock and of the fat thereof. And the Lord had respect unto Abel and to his offering. But unto Cain and to his offering he had no respect. And Cain was very wroth, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto him, Cain, why art thou wroth, and why is thy countenance fallen? If thou doest well, shalt thou not be accepted? And if thou doest not well, sin lieth at the door, and unto thee shall be his desire, and thou shalt rule over him. God's here counseling. He's preaching to Cain just like I'm preaching to y'all, because he's seen something wrong with Cain. Sin was in Cain. Cain had got a lackadaisical feeling to God. He was offering up offerings, his attitude. He was offering up offerings of lost respect for God in any type way or any fashion. And he had something against his brother Abel. In the New Testament, God says if you have aught against your brother, before you make an offering to God, you need to go first get right with your brother. You need to straighten that out before you go praying to God, because God's not going to hear your prayer. If you hate your brother, it's unforgiving, unmerciful to your brother. Still use praying to God. That prayer is not going anywhere. He says, first go get right with your brother. So here, Cain had a problem, and he says, Cain, sin lied at the door. In other words, your mind is on rejection of your brother. Now, right after this, God had told him that. Right after this, Cain went out and slew Abel. He killed Abel. But God had said, sin lieth at the door. Be careful now with your attitude and the way you're going. But see, that's what happens as we do. We reject God's counseling and listen at somebody else's counsel. listening to what somebody else said. We don't know if it was over a woman or his sisters or somebody else, because we know that they had gotten older. They might have been 200 or 300 years old, because Adam lived to be 900 some years old. You know, men lived a long time in those days. So we don't know how much time had passed and what was the argument about, but Cain rose up and slew Abel. Can I tell you this? We have to learn to control our desires and passions. That's why we need the Spirit of God. See, he says, thou, his desire is to you, but thou shalt rule over it. Where else did you hear that? You heard that in the book of Genesis, the 3rd chapter, when he was talking to the woman about she had deceived Adam and caused Adam to eat of the tree. And the Lord God said unto the woman, what is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, the serpent beguiled me, and she ate of the tree. And he says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed. He's talking to the serpent. But unto the woman, listen at what he says to the woman. This is the same thing he told Cain. He said unto the woman, I will greatly multiply thine sorrow in thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thine husband, and he shall rule over you. You notice that a woman always is fighting for control of her husband. She don't want to rule no other man. She wants to rule her husband. She wants to be in control. Whatever you do, that's bred into her. That's God's something God had put in her. And see, that's why I say you to reverse God's order. If you let her have control of authority, that's what Adam did. He had listened to his wife. And you know, most men now appoint at their wife and blame their wife for something going wrong in your house or something that happened. She's not to blame. You're to blame for allowing that. You had the last voice, and the Word of God tells you that. You the one to whoring after other gods and change what God's belief system tells you. Notice that a lot of men say, well, if she wasn't dressed like that, I wouldn't look. You need to control what you're looking at. You need to be able to control that. You need to have authority over that. That's what happened to Adam. He looked his way on out that guardian and Eve, because that's one of the three ways the devil enters into you. The lust of the flesh. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes. That's the book of 1 John, where he says that that's the way he enters through that eye gate. The pride of life. Okay. But what happens is, we're not teaching this to our children. The daddy ran around, or the mama ran around, or this person ran around. That's evil. That's wicked, because then you have contaminated bloodlines. You don't know who them children for. That's what happened to Hosea. We'll talk about Hosea as the course of this goes on, because God had told him to go marry Gomer. Hosea didn't want to do it, but Hosea knew that Gomer was a prostitute. Gomer left Hosea. She had one child for Hosea, but the others didn't belong to her. Hosea had to go buy her back off the slave block. She had become an old prostitute. She was still giving credit to her lovers. Even though she wasn't able, she wasn't look good. You know, everything had went south. That luscious body had turned to just sags and old age. And Hosea was still providing for her. She thought it was her lovers. The devil's out to steal and kill and rob. After a woman gets you away from your wife, after a man gets you away from your husband, after a man gets you away from your husband or gets you away from a good life, after the devil uses you, he'll throw you aside and get someone else. He's out to steal and kill and rob. But then you go whoring after something else, because it's a temptation, it's a temptress, and it tries to tempt you to do something, and that's what it did Eve. The fruit tempted Eve away from what God says. He said, the serpent beguiled me. What was you doing listening at? What was you doing listening at him? A woman said, well, we was in the club doing that. First of all, what was you doing in the club? You got a husband and everything. What was you looking for in there? That's what a lot of people do. They go in the church and say, well, the preacher said this. Well, what were you doing under that preacher, listening to that preacher? Did your pastor say that you can go there? You know, in the old days, if you went to another church, first you told your pastor where you was or what church you was going to. so he'll know what spirit then got up on you. There are different spirits that these televangelists put on you. And most of them is a spirit of whoring, a lusting after money in the things in life and prosperity. And they've changed the gospel. And we're not telling our cheering this, that you need to find a religion and stand in that. Stand into your church. Stand there and don't move. How would you like it? You think your wife will go for it? If you told her, well, I went down to this woman's house on the corner and I ate a little bit there. I gave her $20 or $30 for eating there. And the other day I ate over here and I gave them $30 or $40 to eat there. I don't think she would go for it. Well, that's the same thing with the church. You're coming here to eat and partaking of the word of God. You go to eat somewhere else, everywhere else. We don't know. If you get sick, we don't know who didn't got you sick. If you get poison, we don't know where you picked up poison. And that's what they poison you with, the word of God. But you didn't want a whoring. We don't know whose baby it is that you're pregnant with. We don't know what you're bringing forth. And when sin when that comes forth, it's sin in the church. That's how all the doctrine, strange doctrine get into the churches. Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, the 16th verse. And Luke said unto Moses, behold, and the Lord said unto Moses, behold, thou shalt sleep with thine fathers, and this people will rise up and go a whoring after gods of the strangers of the land. In other words, they'll commit apostasy. They'll leave this religion. They'll say, well, look, daddy and them was a Baptist, or daddy and them belong to this church. This is the new church here. They're preaching the right things. I like their music. They got fancy buildings, all the people going here. This is where everybody's going. Thousands of people are going here. They're going to leave their parents' religion, of their teaching of the religion that they belong in. And problem is, a lot of times along the lines, the parents didn't got crossed up on what they actually believe and how they're living. That's why sometimes God turns the children against the parents, because the parents is off track. And, you know, God approves it then when the children reject the parents. That's why Jesus said, don't think I come to bring peace. I come to bring a sword. In other words, if the parent ain't living right, child got a right not to listen to that parent, but to submit himself to God and follow after God. Can't nobody make you go wrong. That's why when Ananias and Sapphira lied, Peter separated the two and gave her opportunity. Because even though the Bible says, husbands submit to your wives, and it says, wives submit to your husband, neither one of them have to submit to the other when they're wrong. If you're wrong, that woman don't have to submit herself to you and God. You can't make her sin against God. God will cause her to stand up against you. That's why you have a division in your home. If you're not standing upright, God's people would rather suffer death. They'll go through anything. That's why he removed Naboth. Do you remember Naboth? His wife ended up marrying David. Because that man can't make that woman go wrong. It says, they will go whoring after strangers of the land, whither they go to be among them, and will forsake me and break my covenant which I have made with them. Then my anger shall be kindled against them in that day. I will forsake them, and I will hide my face from them. And they shall be devoured, and many evils and troubles shall befall them, so that they will say in that day, are not these evils come upon us because our God is not among us? See, that's why it's a lot of people seem like God ain't with you now. You didn't got out there and you can't feel God no more. It might be right. How is your relationship with God? Are you praying to God? Are you reading God's word? Is God speaking to you on a daily basis? Just because you're in the church, that don't mean God's with you now. As I told you, what you need to do is humble yourself and seek after God till God starts to speak to you. And God speak to you through his word. He's going to speak to you through his word. He's going to speak to you through his preachers and teachers. He's going to speak to you through other people. But your problem is that you would need to learn what the voice of God is. What's God and what's not God. Because a lot of times a friend or wife or somebody will draw you away from God. That's why Job told his wife, hey, no, you don't sound like my wife. She had turned into a devil. You have to know when your wife is a devil. That's why they're pictured as the temptress sometimes. The woman is called the temptress sometimes. Everything in the Bible is kind of centered around the woman in a sexual fashion because, you know, that's the crowning of God's achievement was the woman. The last thing he made, each man glorifies wife. But if she soiled herself, you got the worst enemy you could have.
Yeah.
If she soiled herself with somebody else, that's why marriage is such a vile thing at the end. When they divorce it and fight, you know, they end up killing one another. Nowadays, boyfriend and girlfriend, they killing one another. The women killing the men faster than the men killing the women nowadays. See, once you've slept with one another, that's the end result. You done went to the ultimate. Now, y'all feel y'all own one another. And you catch them in the wrong, that can be a very passionate moment. That guy catch you fooling with his wife, you could put yourself in some serious jeopardy. Nothing took more people out of the world than money and women. Nothing else. The temptress. Why are the examples of women who have enticed men to sin? First of all, we've seen Eve was a temptress. She tempted Adam to sin. Delilah was a temptress. That's who fooled Samson into him. That's why he got his eyes put out, listening at his wife. She said in Judges 16 and 6, and Delilah said to Samson, "Tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lie, and wherewith thy might be bound to afflict thee." What happened then? He went against what God says. He says, "Tell not her that layeth in your bosom everything." You catch a man telling his wife everything, you got a problem. A woman ain't going to tell you everything. She will tell you something, but she ain't going to tell you everything. It's a fool to tell anybody everything in their mind. The other day, Hillary Clinton said something about Donald Trump's followers, which might have been right, but it's some things that have to go unsaid. Can I tell you your parents lied to you? Sticks and stones will hurt, break your bones. They will do that. But you can get over somebody hitting you with a stick or punching you or whatever. But let that woman or let that guy say something to you, and they say words, Lawrence. They can say something to cut you to your bone, cut you to the bone. And you'll always remember the words that they said all your life. Worse than if they'd hit you or punch you. You remember that little dig that they said. And that got you right there. You didn't know that they would say something like that. It really hurt your feelings. You didn't know that was them. Jezebel, I told you about Jezebel, 1 Kings 21. It's Jezebel and his wife said unto him, "Doest thou now govern the kingdom of Israel? Arise and eat bread, and let thine heart be merry. I will give you the vineyard of Naboth." She caused Naboth to be killed over materialism. Most women now call men to get 3 or 4 jobs. You go there, you got a nice car, nice vehicle. She'll tell you, "We don't need this vehicle, we need a new vehicle. You need a house. This house ain't satisfied." You're getting yourself in a world of debt. Don't know how you're going to pay for all that stuff. Trying to please us instead of learning to be content with what you have and not dig yourself in those big holes. That's why a lot of them in their church, that's why a lot of them right now, they can't sleep at night because they're trying to make ends meet. They can't pay tithes all because they didn't win a whoring. They got another God. They got that wife is a God to them. That husband is a God to them. Those children, it's some people working just for their children to put, Jordans on their feet, to give them iPads, to get their nails and things. We're living in a material age where man serves mammon. You cannot serve God in the world. That's why he said any man that's a friend of the world is an enemy of God. He says, "But there was none like unto Ahab, which did sell himself to his wife, to work wickedness in the sight of the Lord, whom Jezebel, his wife, stirred him up." No man has ever been that, and that's the weakness, Jezebel's. Job's wife is another one I told you was a strange woman that caused Job, that tried to get Job to lose his integrity. She tried to tempt God. She let Satan enter her to tempt Job to curse God. She says, "Then said his wife unto him, Doest thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. But he said unto her, Thou speakest as one of the foolish women speaketh. What shall we receive good at the hand of God, and shall we not receive evil?" In all this, Job did not sin with his lips. So he didn't listen to her. He them other children probably was through another wife. That wife probably was moved out of his way because she was a hindrance to him. Proverbs, Solomon talks about the strange women, and he had experiences with the women. He had 700 wives and 300 concubines. So the problem was with Solomon, not the women, though. But he found out that he seen that the woman was a temptress, and that's the cause of many souls of men to be killed, to go away. Israel or the church is pictured as a temptress or a harlot throughout the book of Revelation. It calls her the great mystery of Babylon, the mother of harlots, because that's why he's talking about fighting against the church. And Herodias and Salome was also temptress. She danced for Herod, and Herod loved to see her dance, and that's when he told, actually, if she danced for him, he would give her anything that she would want, and she asked for John the Baptist's head in a charger. Political leadership can be given to whoredoms. In other words, you've noticed a lot of politicians that went to jail or whatever, but this system, the United States system, this whole nation has gone corrupted through money. The politicians can be bought. Family life has been corrupted. It's the gone hurry. But you notice the specific blame has been placed on women. The specific blame has been placed for women to use it in a woman's, in a way that shows the weakness of a woman. And that's not being derogatory of the woman, but it's a symbol that God uses when he uses a sign of weakness. As in Nahum last week, I told you in the book of Nahum, when it says that all, verse 13 in chapter 3, it says, "Behold, thine people in the midst of thee are women. The gates of thy land shall be set wide open to thine enemies. The fire shall divide thy bars." In other words, they have a feministic characteristic to themselves. I hadn't seen so many feminized men in my day. The men have gone to wear earrings, but they say that makes them look manly, a lot of them say. If you look, it's more men on the telephones than women talking on the telephone. So, you know, I can't find that much to say to some man or somebody that I stay on the phone talking that much. But more men stay on the phone than women. If you look at the households, the women are in charge of the households. And either they'll tell the man they can do without them, they can raise the children because it's their children. And it is the majority, and especially among my people, the majority of us, the reason a lot of us, the lives that we're living is, the woman that went whoring and getting a lot of different children, she's making it off welfare, she don't want to get married or whatever, and she don't want you to whip her children or beat her children or tell them right. And as they raise up, they hadn't been instructed, they hadn't had a man over them, they hadn't been chastened, and now we see the results of it in the black communities. You need to be a man and man up and start doing your responsibilities instead of whoring after other gods. In other words, after other things, after other women, after cars, after possession, after being around other people. Jehu spoke about adultery. The book of Judges, let me hit this scripture once before. "Yet they did not listen to their judges, for they played the prostitute. They went a-whoring after other gods, and they bowed down," in other words, worshipped other gods. "They quickly turned aside from the way in which their fathers had walked in obeying the commandments of the Lord. They did not do as their fathers." Here, the children had failed to find the God of their fathers. Now, in some instances, as I said earlier, that could be a failure in the black community, whereas the fathers wasn't in the home. And that's why sometimes the children grow up stronger. I was raised by a step-parent. My stepfather was there more than my real father was. He was a little bit religious, but his life wasn't straight line as should be. But he learned me the basics in life. Whereas my father, he wasn't that. He wasn't as strong. My mama was much stronger than my father. She was in charge. But anyhow, what happens is he didn't take me to church. He wasn't involved in church as much. My mother was. See, but that's where we have to see that a little of our parents is in us. We have to be able to, as you read that scripture earlier, opening up, examine yourself. Examine yourself. Because each one of us has our parents in us. That DNA, that the same good that's in your parents that's in you, those same bad characteristics that are in your parents and you also. You have to learn to overcome them. If they chase women, you will have that propensity to chase women. If they drank or did things, you will have that propensity. Whatever propensities, that's why it says the sins of the father are visited on the son to the third and fourth generation. You have to know where to be stronger than your parents were. You have to know also where to be just like your parents had. But I watched my mother work two and three jobs, as I said. She stood by us and she told me right and wrong. That's one thing she did. So we have to look at what our parents was telling us, a parent. See, that's why I say sometimes the woman, her weakness is her strength. They're not always the weaker vessel. She was a very strong woman. So Jehu, he was commissioned by God to kill off a woman that wasn't a very strong woman. This woman told her daughter was a prostitute. Her daughter went a whoring. She was, her daughter, Athaliah, was the only woman that was queen over Israel. That's the only queen in the line. The rest of them was kings, but this woman, Athaliah, she went in and killed all of her children so she could rule. The mother, Jezebel, from that time on, you can't find a woman that has named her daughter Jezebel. That name has a stigma to it. It has a stigma of a dominant woman that was very charming. She was a temptress. She would put on makeup and everything, trying to seduce the men who had came up to kill her. But God had commissioned Jehu to kill her. There's, just like in Nahum, when he's saying that they're going to destroy Assyria, people in the church have to be killed. People outside the church has to be killed. It comes a time in life when the wolf has to be killed. Eventually, you have to kill a wolf. Jesus didn't destroy the devil at that time, but now we are raised up. People are looking for the manifestation of the sons of God. Once one man stand up, other men start to stand up with him. Once one woman stand up, other women stand up. There are a lot of good women out there that's not given to whoredoms. But we're not doing them any justice by not standing where we should stand. You know, most men go after those, and that's what attracts them. The temptress, that causes other women, because women want to be loved. They want to be cared for. But if they see that's the only way, then they start to give in to those things. But they have to be strong in God. But anyhow, he had commissioned Jehu to take care of Jezebel. It comes about in the book of Kings. In the book of Kings, 2 Kings, the 9th chapter, and the 22 verse. Jehu was coming in, and the chariot was coming in. Joram, Jezebel's son, he asked, he says, "Hitch up my chariot." So his chariot was hitched. And Joram, king of Israel, and Ahaziah, king of Judah, went out, each in his chariot. They went out to meet Jehu and found him on the property of Naboth the Jezreel. That's the very spot where Jezebel had had him killed. She had spilled his blood. And God had prophesied that the dogs would lick Jezebel's blood in that very plot. That it would, Ahab would die. And he said, as he met him, he said, "Is it peace, Jehu?" And he said, "What peace? So long as the harlotries of your mother Jezebel and her sorceries are so many." In other words, the King James might have put it a little bit worse than that. "But there cannot be peace as long as the harlot is alive." That spirit has to be killed. That's a spirit in the world. That's why I said they have apostatized. These other religions has to be put down. There's only one true religion. And a lot of people are not realizing that. And I say America's is the biggest one, so they don't understand that. You know, people from Islam, they're more dedicated than most Americans are to their faith? They're willing to die for what they believe in. How many of us are really actually ready to die over Christianity? So those wasn't cowards that ran those planes in the Trade Center. A man don't live a year knowing he could die and jump in a plane and head to his death. That's not a coward. It takes a heart to take your own life like that. See, and if you have heart, that's what the apostles had. They was willing to die for this gospel. When you get to the point you're willing to die for Christ, you have faith and believe that there is another life, that you don't fear those that can take your life, because it's going to be like that here in America. Now, a lot of people have stood up, but you will be killed, just like they killed Jesus for standing up. Because Satan is the god of this world, and whoredoms and whoremongering is a principle that lied in the world. And the church is the first one to give that over. The church was the first one to get in this political foray. They backed one of the candidates that's running for president. That's where Satan comes in. He wants to run all of the politics and the religion. That's why I say the religious structure here in America has to fall, the political structure. You will see a worldwide drop in all political structures because they're all evil. They're all against God. Even though God had ordained them, that was for us to allow to us to see the corruption that's in them. In the book of Isaiah, if you go to Isaiah, the first chapter of Isaiah, now he tells this to the church, but it's about their political and religious leaders because that's where religion starts at. The 21st verse. How the faithful city has become a prostitute. In other words, idolatrous, despicable. She who was full of justice, right standing with God, once lodged in her. But now murderous, your silver has turned to lead. Your wine is diluted with water. Your rulers are rebels and companions of thieves. Everyone loves bribes and chases after gifts. They do not defend the fatherless, nor does the widow's cause come before them. Instead, they delay a turn of deaf ear. Therefore, the Lord God of hosts, the mighty one of Israel, declares, I will be freed of my adversaries and avenge myself on my enemies. I will turn my hand against you and will thoroughly purge away your dross as lye and remove all of your impurities. Then I will restore your judges at the first and your counselors as at the beginning. Afterward, you will be called the city of righteousness, the city of faithfulness. If you want to read that in the King James, he says, see how Jerusalem, once so faithful, has become a prostitute. In other words, this was an upright nation at one time, but it has prostituted itself for money. There is oppression. I hate to see him lose his job or whatever, but eventually Colin Kaepernick probably lose his job. He'd probably go the way of Chris Jackson. I think his name was Mahouf Ruffo. I forgot what his name was. He was standing for a righteous cause, but he fought it the wrong way. And you cannot go against the system and win. The system does that to you. The system does that to you. The system is utterly corrupt. Now, like I said, you can be right in what you're doing. But this is describes the harlotry principle, the spirit of harlotry, working within the social justice system. The judges, as in this nation, are selling themselves out and accepting bribes and have personal advantage in some other areas of life. The religious leaders, the counselors, the lawyers, all of it, are giving bad advice. And I told you Louisiana was one of the largest penal systems in the nation. One of the reasons the penal system is growing so rapidly and they're privatizing it is they're making money off of it. They treat people in inhumane ways. And still, God says, you know, because he didn't introduce prison system. God didn't introduce prison system. That's man's way of doing it now. But anyhow, the people have corrupted themselves. And in Louisiana, you have more plea bargains than anything. That's why you have so many people incarcerated, because they don't supply the criminal defense system. In other words, the court-appointed lawyers for people that they have to plead out on simple cases. Some of them are innocent or whatever. But the justice system is making money off the backs. And what some of the people are saying about racism in this way and everything is right. So